We are up to Perek Chof Beis, a new Perek. Vayamlichu Yoshve Yerushalayim es Achaziyahu v'no HaKoton Tachtov. So we learned last week about the king of Yehoshaphat, and after the death of Yehoshaphat, the next king is his son Achaziyahu. Achaziyahu is the only one that survived. Wait, I'm a little confused here. Not Yehoshaphat, Yehoram. Yehoram dies. Yehoram was very wicked. We learned last week about how now at this point in time the Malchus has turned sour. The Malchus of David, from starting from the time of Yehoram and further, the Malchus of David took a very steep turn in the wrong direction. Yehoram was king for only 2 years. And after Yehoram's death, he was king for 10 years. And the last 2 years he was extremely ill. And now he dies. He was 32 years. Yehoram was 32 years old when he became king. He was king for eight years. And the last 2 years of his malchus, he was extremely ill. And now, that means he died when he was 40. Simply, he died when he was 40 years old. That would be the simple understanding of the psukim based upon what we've read in Perek Chof Aleph. We now come to Perek Chof Beis, where we learn about his successor. The successor was Vayamlichu Pasuk Aleph, Vayamlichu Yehoshua Yerushalayim es Achaziyahu v'no HaKoton Tachtov. Why did this youngest son take his place? Because all of his other sons were killed. Why were all of his sons killed? Because they were attacked by the Plishtim. The Plishtim and the Arovim in his Malchus, because he was evil, because he did not go in the ways of Hashem, he went in the ways of Achav, in the ways of the Malchus of Yisrael, Yerov, Menavot, and all those successors. That's why Hashem took away the Malchus. There was a rebellion at that time. Livna rebelled, Edom rebelled, and they were under attack by the Plishtim and the Arovim. Part of the attack we learned back in Pasuk Tes Zayin. In the previous Perek, we learned Vayohar Hashem al Yehoram es Ruach HaPlishtim v'ho Arvim asher al Yad Kushim. And these nations, the Plishtim and the Arvim al Yad Kushim, they went and they captured his children. Back in Pasuk Gidzan, in the previous parak, Vayalu v'Yehuda v'Yivkouha v'Yishbu Eis Kol Haruchush Hanimsa Leveis HaMelech v'Gam Bonov v'Noshav. They took away from Yehoram his children and his wives. V'Loi Nisha Loi Bein Kiim Yehoyachos Koton Bonov. The only one that's the only survivor from the family of Yehoram, the grandchildren of Yehoshaphat, was this person Yehoyachos. That was the only survivor. Is Achaziyah? He's the same person. Achaziyah. They have two different names. One name or one. Yehoyachos and Achaziyah. They are the same person. The names are interchangeable. They are the same person with two different names. He was the only survivor, and that is why here in Perek Chof Beis it says the one that replaced him. Vayamlichu Yosha Yerushalayim es Achaziyahu. Achaziyahu is the same as Yehoyachos. Very good. Right. It's the same person. The letters are interchanged. Bino Hakoton, the youngest son, Tachtov, in his place. The reason why the youngest, not the oldest, so not any of the middle children, was because they didn't exist. They were killed or they were captured. Ki kol harishanim harak hagdud, the troop, the army, the bandits killed them. Habab vo arvim lamachne, when the arvim into the camp of Yerushalayim. Period. Vayimloch Achaziyahu ven Yehoram melech Yehuda. Therefore, he took the throne. Achaziyahu, the son of Yehoram, became the king of Yehuda. Now, how old was he at this point in time? Pasuk Beis ben Arboim Ushtaim Shana Achaziyahu v'molcho. He was 42 years old when he became king. And how long did he rule? For a very short term, v'shana achas malach b'Yerushalayim. Only for 1 year. He was killed by Yehu ben Yehoshaphat. That Yehoshaphat is not to be confused with Yehoshaphat, the king. It was a different person by the name of Yehoshaphat. We'll see a little later on. He was anointed. He was told to do this by one of the prophets, by Elisha. And the Sefer Melachim, all those details of...
What happened between all those years?
We're going to explain exactly. Yes, in the obvious kasha, how could the father be two years older, the son be 2 years older than the father? Excellent, let's see. But it says he was 42 years old, Achaziah b'molcho, v'shonachas 1 year, molach b'mishaloyim, v'shemimo, Asalyohu v'as bas Omri. Asalyohu, the daughter of Omri, which means, Omri, who was Omri? Omri was the king of Yisrael. He was the previous king of Yisrael, and this was when it says that Yehoshaphat was a Yischatein Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat became a mechutin with Omri. How did Yehoshaphat become a shutof with Omri? He took Omri's daughter for his son Asa. Who was the father of the whole Yichus? We have Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat had a son, Asa. Asa had a son. I'm sorry, the way around. Asa had a son. Asa had a son, Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat had a son, Yehoram. And Yehoram had a son, Yehoachas. I have to bring in some charts. I have some good charts at home. Believe me, there I'll bring in. But Asa had a son Yehoshaphat. Who did he take for a daughter-in-law, to a wife for his son Yehoshaphat? The daughter of Omri. During the time of the Malchus of Yehoshaphat, Omri came to power. We'll see some of the details in Rashi and the Radak and the Mitsudos. Omri came to power in the Malchus of Yisrael, and Omri had a daughter, and Omri's daughter was, this wicked woman was, Asalia, and he took this woman for a wife for the son Yehoshaphat, and Yehoshaphat and Asalia had a son.
You're off a generation.
Okay, let's go slow. Okay, we'll see the Rashi and the Mesudas in a moment. But the point over here is Shemim Asalia Bas Omri, Asalia, the daughter of Omri. I'm not good with this. Okay, we'll see in a few moments. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Gimel. Gam hu halach b'darchi beis achav. Pasuk Gimel. Gam hu halach b'darchi beis achav. Ki imo hoiso yo'atzto leharshia. Pasuk Gimel says that he was evil. This person, Yehoiachas, or Achaziyahu, was a Rasha. And the Pasuk makes it very clear he was under the influence of his wicked mother. His mother was extremely ruthless. As we're going to learn, she killed her own children and grandchildren. She desperately wanted to rule. She did rule. She became the queen. And when her son Achaziyahu was killed by Yehu ben Yehoshaphat, when he was killed, she took the Malchus for herself, and anyone that she felt was a threat to her, she killed, including all of Yehoiachaz's own children, her grandchildren. She killed her own grandchildren, and anyone else in the family that might be a possible threat to her was wiped out. Okay, we'll learn more about that. So, but here it makes it very clear that this person, Yehoiachaz, he was under the influence of his mother, Asalia. What else? There was another evil influence. Pasuk Dalid, Vayasara b'ene Hashem kivei sachav ki heimo hoyulo yo'atzim. Another cause of his failure. Because the family of Achav, the Malchus of Yisrael, were his advisors. Ki heimo hoyulo yo'atzim achrei mos aviv, after his father died, l'mashchislo. All of their advice only brought about his destruction, his hashchasa brought problems. So we have over here two very interesting psukim. Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Dalet, and Parsha discussed this, that there are two this person was under the influence of two sets of advisors, his mother and the family of Achav. The question is, why both? Why are there two different mention of both, and exactly what point in time did they have influence over him? So some learn very simply that until he became king, the primary person that influenced him to go in the evil ways was his mother. After he became king, then his mother was not that much of an influence. He was more under the influence of his advisors, who were from the family of the Malchus of Yisrael, who were extremely wicked. They were the family of Achav. Now let's go back and ask the question that you mentioned. How could it be here that he was 42 years old when he became king, when his father died when he was 40 years old? He was the successor to his father. Seemingly there was a seamless succession. The father died, the father was 40 years old, and the very next day the son took over, and the son is 42 years old. That's what it says. I mean, how else are you going to make sense of this?
Okay, so
Hirani Kevenshim Shani. So this is what it's a fact. This really opens up. We have a concept in Tanakh. I do not remember where the Gemara is. The Gemara talks of one of the Amoraim of the Tanaim, and it says Kol Yomai. I learned Chumash, and I always understood the Pesukim in a more mystical, more of a mashal, and I didn't know that there's such a thing. Ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. That there's you learn the pasuk, a simple pshat to the pasuk. You know, in fact, this is one of the big. We don't appreciate Rashi, what Rashi really did for us. If you read the history of Rashi, Rashi first came out with this parash in Chumash. It came in Kuntresim. And he put out little bits and pieces here and there. Until Rashi came along, there were two schools. This is how it's explained in the history of Rashi. There were two schools of thought in learning Chumash. There was one school of thought, you learn Chumash, Pshutoi Kimashmo. You read the Pesukim as literally as possible. Whatever it says in the Pasuk, that you translate the words in a literal fashion, and that's what the Pasuk means. Ayin tachas ayin, eye for an eye. And then, let's say, when the Torah gives over the various stories, you read the stories in a very, very literal fashion. You're going to get into a lot of trouble when you go down that path. Then there was another school of thought that felt that none of the stories that it says in Tanakh, the Ramban actually says things like this, certain types of visions from Avraham, Ruben Alochim, it never really happened. It never really happened. These are just mishalim, these are dreams, these are visions. Everything is nothing more than a mashal. Don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. It doesn't mean to take a cinder block and put it in front of a blind man who'll trip. It means the concept. Don't cause a person who's ignorant in a certain business venture, don't cause him to stumble. Don't take anything in the pasuk literally. And Klal Yisrael, there was a big machlokes, how to understand Chumash. Rashi, what's very unique about Rashi blends the two together. Rashi was a trailblazer. Rashi was a mechadish that sometimes the pshat is not literal, and sometimes it is to be taken literally. There is a certain balance. You have to take a little bit of both. This was Rashi's mahalach. We take it for granted because we were Baruch Hashem, from the time we were very young, we learned Chumash and Rashi, so it's just built into us. But if you take a person who has never learned Chumash Rashi, and for the very first time he reads Rashi, where he right away notices that Rashi sometimes translates Pesukim literally, and sometimes Rashi has a more agadic, has a more homiletic approach to a pshat of the pasuk. But there is such a concept, Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. Here, in Divrei HaYamim, this pasuk is pointed out by many of the Mefarshim on the page. It's very unique. Because there are many times we've learned Pesukim, and we say Pshat, very simple Pshat, and then we try to fit in a deeper meaning in the Pshat, we try to bend the Pshat. But here, it's very hard to read the pasuk lefi pshuto. It says ben arboim ushtayim shana achazio v'molcho. He was 42 years old when he became king. That is just impossible. If you read the pesukim according to the pshat, it can't be. His father died when he was 40 years old. How could he possibly be? How could he possibly be 42 years old? And in fact, in Sefer Melachim, it's clear as day. It says he was 22 years old when he became king. So what then does it mean? So we'll read inside. We read Radak. The Radak is very clear here. But Rashi, basically, in most of the Farshim on the page, say it means this is a pasuk that cannot be learned pshat. You only can learn this of a more agadic fashion, midrashic approach. It was 42 years since the shidduch, since Asa took the daughter of Omri as a wife for Yehoshaphat. This was a tragic mistake, which Hashem at that point, according to this is debatable, according to the Seder Olam, Rav Michal, I'm sure it's a Bucky in Seder Olam, this is a medrash. It's a medrash on history. It's a history medrash. What chronology? But it's very midrashic, and a lot of the things in this medrash are very controversial because there are other midrashim which clearly disagree, and the Mamar Chazal Gemaras which are not in agreement with things that it says in the Seder Olam. But according to the Seder Olam, when Asa took the daughter of of Omri as a wife for his son Yehoshaphat, it was when Oz took the daughter of Omri as a wife for his son Yehoshaphat. The daughter of Omri. I believe it was the daughter of Omri. It was Bas Omri. We'll see in Rashi. Okay, maybe, but when he was Mesharech, when Yehoshaphat, the Melech of Yehuda, was Mesharech with the Melech of Yisrael, Hashem was Goizer, the Malchus of David will now come to an end. Adkan, no more. Oh, but I promised David, I made promises to David that because you built for me this Beis HaMikdash, you did something which no one wanted to do, which no one even thought about doing, I guarantee that your children will be the Melech of Klal Yisrael forever and ever. Hashem changed his mind. Or, I don't know, changed his mind, that bracha we learned was conditional. I'm only going to give you this bracha if your children go in my ways. If your children will follow in the ways of Hashem and will serve Hashem properly, then I guarantee no matter what, your descendants will continue to survive and will be a Mashiach ben David. But if you want to go off the derech, that's it. I have no obligation to continue your line. I'll find for myself another melech from the Shevet of Yehuda. Lo yosa Shevet mi Yehuda michoik bein ragov. Doesn't say anywhere Shevet Yehuda has to be dafka David. I'll find somewhere else. This was the final straw that broke the camel's back. This was the end. There were many mistakes that were made along the way, especially Shlomo. Shlomo, he married. The first big mistake was Shlomo. He married the wife of the daughter of Paro. He built for her, that was premature, he built for her a palace and a temple for her to serve, or tolerated the building of a temple to serve Odeh Zarah. That was viewed as a very great sin. Then with Rechavam, things already split, the Malchus already split, Rechavam did not go back in the ways of Hashem, and there were mistakes. But this, to align yourself, to be Meshadich, to marry the daughter of Omri, the Malchus Achav Yerov ben Nevat, the Malchus of Yisrael, who were Rishoyim, who were wicked people who rebelled against the Malchus of David and openly worshipped idols and built to themselves Bamos and Basel and Don, to go and marry because you want to make a political alliance, you want to strengthen your Malchus. This was a sin that Hashem was not willing to tolerate according to the Seder Olam, and it was decided the end. And now it took, when Hashem makes there are decrees don't happen overnight, there's a process. Now is when the process will come to be, with the death of, in this generation, 42 years later. So when the pasuk says it was ben arbor mishtaim shana chazio, it was now 42 years, it means 42 years since the marriage of Yehoshaphat to the family of Yisrael. That's the 42 years. Yeah, they all married. They all were aligned. Yeah.
Suddenly later.
It took 40. Hashem wanted for. So there's a sefer called, I'm sure you heard, Margolius Hayom on Masech the Sanhedrin. It's a very famous Masech the Sanhedrin. And there, when this is discussed, Margolius Hayom says something which seems got a lot of currency. Everyone says the reason why Hashem waited. The reason why Hashem waited 42 years, Hashem didn't do it right away. Hashem really would have done it right away, was because deep down, in Hashem's secrets, Hashem really didn't want the Malchus of David to survive, as it did, as we're going to see. How did it survive? Yoash, when Ahaziyahu was killed, and Asalia, Ahaziyahu's crazy mother, took over. She wanted to be queen. She was afraid that people are going to say, what do you mean? The mother? The children. Ahaziyahu has children. His children will be king. She killed all of his children. She killed any cousin or nephew of David to wipe everyone out. But it was one infant, a one-year-old baby, that was a child of Ahaziyahu, that was lying around. And the Kohen Gadol, Yehoyada, and his wife, got her name, and then we'll see all the names in a few moments, they took this child, they hid the child in what's called the Chadar HaMitos, which is a lot of discussion, what exactly it is, simply in the Beis HaMikdash. They hid the child in the Beis HaMikdash, and they raised him for 6 years. Jacob was an infant for 6 years, and then when he was 6 years, there was a coup, and they overthrew Asalia, they killed her, And they anointed this person, this child, Yoash, a six-year-old baby, child, a toddler. He now became the new Melech. Obviously, a six-year-old, according to our understanding, was not a king. He was under the guidance. He was groomed for many years by the Kohen Gadol, Yehoyada HaKohen. Yehoyada HaKohen groomed him until he was old enough to rule on his own. And that preserved the Malchus, of David. And he was a very great tzaddik most of his life. The end of his life, he turned a little sour. He became, there were problems. But at least he was a tzaddik. He was truly, and so the Margolius Hayom says, the reason why Hashem delayed was Hashem was waiting for this baby to be born. Because Hashem, even though Hashem made this gezerah, the Malchus Adam will be obliterated, will come to an end, not 100%. Hashem did want to leave a Pesach, a little opening that the Malchus of David should survive. If Hashem would have brought this Gezerah to fruition at this point in time, immediately in the lifetime of Yehoshaphat, or in the lifetime of Yehoram, Yehoshaphat's son, there would not have been any survivors that were tzaddikim, that would be right to continue the legacy of David. Hashem had to wait until this baby was born, because this baby had sparks of righteousness from which we can rebuild, we can reignite the Malchus of David. That's why there was a delay of 42 years. It would have happened right away. So you see, amazing Hashkacha, HaKadosh Baruch has the Gzeris, and the Gzeris have to be fulfilled, but Hashem also wants there to be a reform. And Hashem's not going to bring the Gezerah until the Refuah is there before the Makkah. There was no Refuah. There was no one that could restore the Malchus. I gotta wait, Hashem says. I gotta wait two generations. I gotta wait for Yehoshaphat. I gotta wait for Yehoram. I gotta wait for Yehoram to have a son, Achaziyahu. And I gotta wait for Achaziyahu to have a baby. And when he has the baby, oh, now we're in business. Now I can fulfill the Gezerah. Fulfill the Gezerah for the marriage, the alliance, the sin that Hashem was not happy with. Okay, so that is the basic gist of these psukim. Let us see some of the mitzudas, and they will also maybe look at the Radak, because Radak really, it's a beautiful Radak, who explains a lot of these in Yanam very clearly. Let's start with the mitzudas, Pasuk Aleph, mitzudas David. He called that he had no children left. The one that took the place of Yehoram was Achaziyahu, because all of his other children were killed by the Arvim, the Haboba Arvim. He Haboba me Arvim el Machane Pelishim li lochim Yehudim kama shekasu l'malo. The people that came from Arvim to Machane Pelishim. So there was an alliance. There was an alliance among the Arvim, the Arabs, whoever these Arvim are, these nomads, with the Pelishim, and they came to attack Yehuda, like it says in the previous perek, in perek Chof Aleph. Now, after he was appointed, Yehoram dies. Yehoram died, and he only was king for 8 years, though he was extremely sick. His body smelled, his stomach came out because of his evil ways. And now his son Yehoahaz took over when he was 42 years old. So here he quotes that everyone is busy here with the Seder Olam. That's the buzzword, the Seder Olam. Shnuya b'sed olam. Shaminyan hazehu litzmisas malchus imri al... What do we have there? Litzmichas, I have a mistake in my print. Litzmichas. Litzmis, whatever. Litzmis sus malchus armi al kol Yisrael asher hoysa al yidei shenosa Yehoshaphat. It's recounting 42 years since the taking root of the malchus of Omri al kol Yisrael asher hoysa al yidei shenosa Yehoshaphat, because the daughter of Omri married Yehoshaphat shenosa Yehoshaphat as bitoy li'isha kemasher kosav sham. It says vayischatein. It says there vayischatein. It also was vayischatein. Also, he took for a daughter-in-law the daughter of Asa for his son Yehoshaphat. The Yitochein Shenasa Shon Achas Tafnei Meloich Omri. He married her 1 year before Omri al Kol Yisrael. He married her a year before he became king. Uveavur Hayos Achazio Mizaro, because Achaziyahu was now a descendant of the grandmother of the Malchus of Yisrael. Korolo, what happened to him? Shenerag in Melech Yisrael al Yidei Yehu killed. This is a lot of the details of this story is left out in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. It appears in Sefer Amalachim. Ulezetola Malchus Bitz Misas Malchus Amri, and that's why That's why the two are connected to Amri. We mention Amri because since Hashem punished the Malchus of Yisrael by having them killed in battle, and when they were killed, he was killed as well.
Amri comes in when?
Amri was the king. Amri was before. Was way before. Amri was the king of Yisrael during the time of Asa. During the time of Asa and Yehoshaphat. So this goes back a generation. Right now we're after Yehoram, the next generation. Bas Amri l'malah nemar Yehoram aviv nasa bas Achav. We also learned before that Yehoram, his father, married the daughter of Achav. So the Yehoshaphat, avi aviv, his grandfather, nasa bas Amri. The Yitachein Sh'Amri Gadla, so there was an alliance, all of the, they kept on marrying each other. The two families, the kingdom of the Malchus of Yisrael, married the Malchus, they married each other. Yehoshaphat married the daughter of Amri, and Yehoram, his father, married the daughter of Achav. And Achav was the king also of Yisrael.
So, Yehoshaphat had married the sister of Achav.
Yehoshaphat married the sister of Achav, exactly, because the sister of Achav is, because Achav was the son of Amri. So it's the sister. The Yitachein Sh'Amri Gadla, Amri raised him, V'nikres Bitoi Afki B'nei Bonim, and we're calling over here, so grandchildren are children. We call a grandchild a child at times. So that's why here it says in this pasuk, Bas Amri, even though really was the grandmother. Even though he was the grandmother, so it doesn't mean Amri was the father of Achav. So here when it says Bas Amri, it just means over here it was the grandson, but the granddaughter, but we call it a daughter because grandchildren at times in Tanakh are called children. The Nikres Bitoi, Afki B'nei Banim, Heim Banim, because grandchildren are called children. Lamashchis, Lapasik Dal tells us that there were two different advisors. Achazyahu had two advisors, his evil mother, Asalyahu, and the evil advisors from the kingdom of Yisrael. Lamashkes lo choimer atzasam lo hoyu l'toivaso. Their advice was not for his benefit, kim lehashchiso, but was to bring about his downfall. Pasik hey gam ba atzasam holach. He went. Okay, that's where the narrative. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik aleph. Noah pasik beis. Ben Aboy Meshtaim, who was 42 years old. Vulachim who it says Ben Eshem Meshtaim. It says he was 22 years old. How do we reconcile the two? Is it 22 or is it 42? Haketzah lefiz zeh hoya haben gadlum yavu ben shnayim. It can't possibly be ben shanim. It can't possibly be like what it says over here, because over here it says he was 42 and his father was 40 years old. That means he'll be 2 years older than his father. Ela beis shanim koydim shnolad yoharam aviv, 2 years before he was born. His father died when he was 40 years old, Yehoram. 2 years before his father was born, when his grandfather, Yehoshaphat, married Bas Omri, at the time when he got married, until he was born, it was 2 years. At that moment, it was a gzera from Hashem that the zera of David would come to an end. El nigzra gzera zo al beis David shetichle in beis Achav, that it will come to an end together with the family of Achav, the wicked family of Achav. Beis Achav v'cheinu oimer umelokim hoisa tavus achazyahu. This can be later on from Hashem. It was a tavus. Tavus means the downfall, the destruction. A very unusual word which we'll see later on. It was from Hakadosh Baruch Hu that the malchus of David should become to an end, should be degraded and trampled and obliterated. Uviyom shnas Asa, the day when Asa was the father of Yehoshaphat, when he married as Bas Omri Yehoshaphat, he took the other king of Klal Yisrael, of Yisrael, the daughter of Omri Yehoshaphat Beno, Nigzera Gezera Zo, Kach Shenuya Beseder Oilam. That's what it says in Seder. Now again, the main chiddush of Seder Oilam is a shocking statement that the Zera of David will come to an end. other midrashim don't like this, because there's no such thing as saying that the Zera of David will come to an end. There has to be such a thing, David. Hashem promised David, and that promise overrides everything. There must be this continuity of the Malchus of David. The Yatzmach Perkonei V'Kalev Mashiach. He's saying Kaddish. What is the Yatzmach Perkonei Mashiach ben Yosef V'Kalev Mashiach Mashiach ben David? That's the Kavana of those two words in the Kaddish. Mesuch Svart. So how could David come to an end? So that's why with Sefta, the Saita, and also what it says, Sefta, the Saita. Ach, b'chol hamikros, loy matzinu shenosu yashav. Now he points out this, that we don't really find this in this detail, that Yehoshaphat married the daughter of Omri, does not say explicitly anywhere. The only thing it says is vayischatein. Vayischatein can mean many things. Ach, b'chol hamikros, loy matzinu shenosu yashavat bas Omri, ach matzasi, but there is one pasuk, the pasuk that it says before, later, b'lel, in Perek Yud Ches, Vayischatein Le'achav. It says that Osa it says that he was Vayischatein Le'achav. The two families became the Chutanim, and there it's interpreted as Shema Zohois Achoisoi Shenosa. It means that Yehoshaphat married the sister of Achav. Achav's father was Omri. And it says here that Yehoshaphat was Vayischatein, so that means he married the daughter of Omri. Because since he was Vayischatein, he became a brother-in-law. That's how we're going to interpret the pasuk. He became a brother-in-law to Achav. He married his sister. They were both the children of Omri. Fine. So now when did this happen? So here Rashi gives some of the numbers. V'shnas lamed aleph l'asa nasa. Asa in the 31st year of Asa, he married her, Shenemar, Uvishnas Lamed Aleph L'Asa. In the 31st year of Asa, Molach Omri. Asa was king for how many years? For 40 years. So it was in the 31st year of Asa, Molach Omri, when he was 34 years into his Malchus, Achav died. And his son took over. Uchshenasa Asa Esbito. And when Asa took the daughter of Omri, Yehoshaphat bino, Shenes'ala Omri, that's the time when Omri was elevated. He went up, Vaharogo, he went to war, Vaharogo, Tovni, and Tovni killed. And that's the Ma'aseh Sefer Melachim when Omri was killed. Tzevach Hashav, now Rashi is making a calculation, Tzevach Hashav, Mishnas Lamed Gimel. That means it was now the 33rd year of Asa. Asa was king for 40 years. In Asa's 32nd year, Achav died. Achav was replaced with his son Omri. At that moment in time, according
to...
What?
I thought we said before the other way around.
Omri was the father Yehoram of Achav. Replaced Achav. Omri was Achav's father.
Right.
Uvishnas Lamed Aleph La'asa Molach Omri. Okay, the 31st year of Asa, Omri became king.
Right.
So who died? Who was before Omri?
Ela. Yeah.
Okay, so Ela died, Omri became king. How long was Omri king? For just 1 year. He was king for 1 year, Omri. So now it's going to be the 32nd year of the Malchus, the only Malchus of Asa. Omri was already dead, but already during that 1 year, he accomplished that his son Yehoshaphat married the daughter of Omri. Now make the calculation of how many years from Asa ruled, the 33rd year of Asa, until Shemolach Achaziyahu, the Timsi will find Mem Beishan. Now we'll see the calculation in the Radak in a moment. Another pasuk says, in the 12th year of Yoram ben Achav, that's a different year, not to confuse that Yoram with the Yoram, the son Yehoram, with the hay, the one that is the son of the Melech of Yehuda. This is Yoram ben Achav, Molach Achaziahu, ben Yehoram, Achaziahu, the son of Yehoram. Once is Mishtas Yudchas li Yoram, Melech Achaziahu. I'll have a contradiction. So he's pointing another contradiction. One pasuk says that it was in the 12th year. Another pasuk it says that it was in the 18th year. Al korchenu Yehoram aviv loy meis, Ella b'shnas yudbeis yom ben achav, shrei kosov b'shnas heil yom ben achav, molach yom ben yashafat, v'ches shon molach, and he ruled 8 years, u'mash amashu b'shnas yud alef liyom, lefi shemolach b'chayov, v'shon achas, lefi shoyov v'nagua, b'tachluyim koshim k'mash kosav, v'yach kozos nek v'ashem. Okay, let's, I don't have a clear cut, so let's put this in, maybe we'll do it again tomorrow, but the basic idea is, and we're going to see this soon again, is that we'll see the Radak. The Radak is much clearer. Is that Yehoram Achaziahu ruled in the lifetime of his father? His father Yehoram, as we learned, was extremely ill and was unable to rule. Therefore, in his own lifetime, the lifetime of the previous Melech, he ruled, and he ruled for a couple of years, at least for a few years. Now, that is why, if we just go back this insight, without going into the details, all the numbers, which I don't know, I apologize, I don't have a clarity in this, but in the beginning of the Perek, it says, Aleph, I am lichu yoshvei Yerushalayim es achaziyahu v'no hakoton tachtov. The old Mepharshim may ask, why does it say the Yoshvei Yerushalayim? Why doesn't it say Vayamlichu, the Malchus, the people of the Anshe Yehuda, the people of the Malchus of Yehuda? Why are we mentioning specifically the Yoshvei Yerushalayim? So the answer is, there was a coup. Only the people living in the city of Yerushalayim itself were aware what was going on, that the king Yehoram was unfit to rule. He was too sick. He was unable to rule. Therefore, they took the initiative by putting him away in a retirement home and taking his son and making him the Melech. So that's the unusual, because it does not say this expression about any other king in all of Tanakh, that it was the Yoshvei Yerushalayim that decided, we're now going to appoint this new person as the king. What do you mean the Yoshvei Yerushalayim? There's a whole country. Yerushalayim is just one city. There's a region called Yehuda and Binyamin. There were many cities. The people in Yerushalayim saw firsthand, when they went to Davin, they went to Shacharis, and they saw the king come to Shacharis, they saw what's going on. This guy can't be king anymore, he's too sick. So that's why they made this change.